Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schalter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. This is John Schalter, welcome to Empower Radio. I've got a very, very special guest here that I'm going to introduce later, Miss Melissa Parks. Unbelievable lady, unbelievable woman, and you, it's going to bring tears to your eyes, I'm sure, when you hear her story and hear her butterfly moment and how she's making a difference in the world. As of today, I'm going to introduce the show. As you know, I work as a life coach, and so does Carrie, with a tool that I discovered this week that might help you in your own path towards fulfillment and satisfaction and peace. And it came as a result of a traffic jam. Every time I would come back from the office, I would hit this particular light, and it was always red. And for some reason, the congested traffic just aggravated me. And what a thing to happen to you when you're on your way home, about to be greeted by your beautiful wife. So I thought, well, what could I do to reframe this, to make that frustrating experience be something else? And so I decided, what if I was grateful during that time? What if during that 2 or 3 minutes, I acknowledged the blessings that I have in this world? I acknowledged all of the gifts that I've been given. And you know what? I can't wait to get to that red light every day. I can't wait to have that experience that I need after a tough day, to really acknowledge within myself the truths that I need to be practicing more. So if you feel that you would like to get more tools, talk about your life, I want you to give me a call at 248-568-7021. And the first session with a life coach is free. And we can talk about you, we can talk about tools, we can talk about how you can best be grateful to find those blocks, those red lights that are keeping you from your good. And so give me a call, and I'd love to talk to you, because after almost 40 years of practice of law, this is my bliss. This is what I was meant to do. Well, anyway, I'm so excited following up with that, with our guest, Melissa Parks, who we're, as always, we're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future, about especially her wonderful life and her current project called Art and Soul. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's indeed a pleasure. I know that Carrie has met you several times, and you know, we've been trying to think of a way to get you on the show, and it just, I know you had a story about it, but it just fell together, right?
It did.
Well, as always, you know, I was wondering if you could just tell us about you, you know, what your story is and how you got to this wonderful project with kids called Art and Soul. Tell us.
All right. Well, I am an art educator, and I have been teaching art to children for 28 years. And how did I get to this point? Well, it was, I've taught high school, middle school. I now teach little bitties, kindergarten, first, and second. And on my way to work over the last few years, I would look to the sky and I would say, if you want me to teach, I will teach. I love teaching. But if you want me to do something big, I'll do something big. Let me know. And but make it really clear. Make it really in my face, or I might miss
it. You get what you ask for,
yes,
right?
And so, and,
good point.
Over a course of a summer, there were lots of events that came up. One was a dance lab with Nick Cave at the Ruth Ellis Center, where the LGBTQ kids put on a dance. And there were about 300 people that came to Highland Park to watch them. And it was about 100 degrees. And I had never been there. I didn't even know what the event was going to be other than Nick Cave. He's an artist and I follow artists. And I started crying. My husband says, "Are you okay?" I said, "I don't think so. Look at all these people that are here and they see these children and I see them." Mm. And went up to the director and I said, "Oh, I want to work with these children. I'm an art teacher." Mm-hmm. And since then, I have worked with the children and it's life-changing. Mm. Yeah.
Within the context of that, I think what you're describing relative to this incident was an aha moment.
Yes.
Something that we all look for in what we call in this show a butterfly moment, where you could feel something different. You could feel a time to soar.
Right.
And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So how did that manifest? What happened after that?
So then after that, we went on vacation. We went to Rhode Island, and we took our youngest daughter. We have two daughters. One was at Rhode Island School of Art and Design. She was still in her classes. We took the youngest one to a science museum. And there on the walls were these beautiful photos of children. And I don't normally gravitate to photos. But I stopped and I just could not get my eyes off of all these beautiful children. There were 17 photos. And I just kept thinking, well, why are they here? Why are they at the Science Museum? They must have done something for STEAM or STEM. And my husband hands me the booklet. And he says, "They all need adoption."
Mm.
And I just... I said, "These kids? I mean, they're beautiful." And then we read the stories of 17 children on our way home from Rhode Island. And I cried for every single one of them.
Mm.
And I continued crying. And I didn't know what was going on. I just woke up every morning with like crocodile tears coming down my face.
Sounds like God hit you over the head with a baseball bat.
Yes, yes. But nobody in my family really knew. It's not like I went around talking about it. And the booklet was on the green table. And then life happens. You know, school starts. I'm back at work. Summer's over. And then I go to professional development. And I'm sitting under a tent with 55 of my newest best friends that I have just met and asked to think about the future of Oakland County in the next 10 years. And in doing so, everybody has these wonderful answers. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I am only about art and children. I mean, I have no idea.
Mm.
And I came home and there was the booklet. And I went, huh, let's see what I called the state of Michigan the next day. And then I called Rhode Island. And the director of Rhode Island happened to be coming to Detroit.
Mm.
And I was the first person she met with. And we met for 3 hours, and she told me the history of how they started their heart gallery in Rhode Island. And that's how it began. And then I went to Orchards Children's Services and pitched the idea.
Great
to Michael. Wonderful. To Michael Williams. And he said, "Anybody with this amount of passion and this much drive, you can do it as long as you fund it." And I went, "Oh, not a problem. Of course I'll," you know. And so that's how we got started. Right before we had our first exhibit with the children, on our way to the exhibit at the Pontiac Creative Arts Center, I was looking through my journal of when I started. And I don't know why I had my journal with me on my way there. And I had my two daughters in the car and my husband. We were all excited because the kids were going to be there and the photographers, and we had live music and food and gifts for the kids. And in the booklet was the meeting I had had with Darlene Allen in Rhode Island and a friend of hers, Judy McSorley. And she was the founder of their Heart Gallery in Rhode Island. And she also had passed away that week. On the day that she passed away was the day that we were on the front page of the Free Press, which ended up going nationally.
Wow.
So it crossed state lines. And that's when I knew I was on to something bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was... had nothing to do with me, but that I was the spokesperson for children that had no voice.
Okay, so your response to this urging of spirit was to create a mechanism where kids could more easily get adopted?
Correct.
Okay.
And so, this is a traveling photo exhibit, and we partner with award-winning photographers, and they photograph the children capturing their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't give them a lot of specifics. I let them do what they do best, and that is capturing that moment in time with the lens of the camera and the click of the button. And what I've discovered is that photographers see the world in ways that I'm so grateful for, because they have captured the essence of every child so that people can see them. So we travel to a different location every month, and we don't put labels. We have the booklets available near the exhibit. Sometimes there's a write-up about what the exhibit is, but my first hope is that when people see the exhibit, that they just see children. They see a photography exhibit, and they just see beautiful children. And when I ask people to, before I explain to them what they see, I ask them to, if they could share with me what they see. They say, I see hope. I see love. I see family.
Agreed.
I see future. And I say, oh, that is exactly what these children are. They are hope. They are love. And they need a family. And without a family, hope is pretty hard.
Right.
It's hard to grasp hope without that family
network. So you are creating, through the artistry of photography, a collection of almost energies of what potential foster parents can relate to, maybe connect with, right?
Correct.
What a great idea.
And so it's to get people to see them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these children, for whatever reason, their parents were not able to fulfill their obligation as their parent. And these children, there are not enough foster care families in our state. In our book, in our recent booklet, it says there's 13,000 children in foster care. However, that number has gone up. The number now is 14,000.
Wow.
And 800 of those children need a family. 300 of those children, 300 plus, have no family. I mean, they have no aunt, no uncle, no grandparent. And these are the hardest to place children age 11 to 17. So the children we feature are the hardest to place because most people want a younger child.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because they haven't thought about an older child and what it would feel like to go to bed without having that mother or father to say, you are special, you are the future, you are love.
You know, boy, I tell you, I'm having a difficult time grabbing words because I was with Carrie when she took Honesty's photographs, a young African-American young lady. And I can tell you that the gift initially is to the child. That child can finally, through the lens of somebody else, see their beauty, see their goodness, see their smile, see the essence of what they are. And if your organization only did that,
right,
I would say it hit a home run.
Right.
But you are taking this and saying, okay, let's match this up with someone, a parent, foster parent.
Yes, a foster parent or somebody that would even go as far as adopting.
Right.
Even mentoring. It takes about 3 years for people to move to action once they start thinking about
it. Right.
So our hope is next year's we launch every National Foster Care Month in May. And our hope is that by year three, the numbers go up.
Yeah.
And that people have gotten their life in order. They've gotten their house in order.
Right.
Their kids are a little older now. They've had time to talk to their children about other children. And we advocate for these children as if they're our own.
Right.
When we go out and we talk about the children, we tell them personal stories about the times that we've been with them, the kinds of personalities that they have, what they like. Andrew, he loves chocolate chip cookies.
Mm.
He wears his Pokemon shirt to every Art and Soul event.
Oh, wow.
And I said, Andrew, oh, I see you have your Pokemon shirt on again.
I know.
And he says, that's because I want people to remember me.
Mm.
And he wants a family. And so he wears that shirt and hopes that somebody will see him again.
Mm.
And they don't lose sight of him because he'll wear that shirt to every Art and Soul event that he's able to come to so that we remember him.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Backing up, that's okay. You've got this vision. You've got this mechanism. Tell us about the title.
The title, Art and Soul.
I just love it, by the way. you must have yes.
That finally, this was another aha moment.
Okay.
Every child is a work of art. Art and soul. And art and soul is all one word with the ampersand connecting it all because it's all interconnected. And we are all interconnected.
Right.
And every child's a work of art. And I'm an art educator. And when I work with children, I always tell them, you're not making art unless you're making a mess.
Mm.
So go ahead and make a mess.
Yeah.
It's okay to make a mess. Messes are very important when you make art.
Mm.
If you're not making a mess, then you're not creating. And children are messy.
Mm-hmm.
I have two daughters, and they are messy. Children are messy. Life is messy.
Yeah.
Every child is a work of art. And so when I think of these foster children and the complicated issues that brought them to foster care, that's messy.
Mm.
And these children especially are works of art. And because they come from complicated,
right,
messy backgrounds, every child is a work of art.
You know, I like the phrase, take your mess and make it your message.
Oh.
And because I think that we all have a story, you know, like,
yes,
we talked about before, and that story can really be our launching pad. You know, it can,
correct,
be adversity. It can be something. It can be a butterfly moment. It can be some point of pain. But there's a way of framing that can really change your life. Change your,
right,
life. Well, I'm talking here with Melissa Parks and a wonderful conversation dealing with a completely innovative, as I see it, higher consciousness connection to adoption or foster children. It could do both, right?
It could be. Or
you
mentoring.
You could go all the way.
Any.
Okay.
Any
connection.
Move to action. For the sake of children,
right,
that have, they are already enough, but for them to know that, they need hope and they need love. And for most of these children, there are not enough foster care families out there for them, and they live in residential facilities, which are not homes. Those are not families, and that is not where they are going to find the most love.
I see. So you have kind of a process, because there's a lot of people out there that says, adoption scares me, you know, and then,
right,
say, okay, back up.
Right.
Maybe you can mentor, maybe you can have a foster child, you know, but you've got to say, I love that incremental approach, because oftentimes people just throw too much too strong and people get frightened.
Right. Right. And it does, you know, I'm not fostering. I have a 13-year-old who's not prepared for this.
Right.
My 20-year, almost 20-year-old's like, pick one. Just close the book and pick one. But I work full-time, and then I do this full-time, so I wouldn't have what a child would need as far as my time
right.
to commit to them. So my time commitment is to the 14,000 in the state of Michigan and the over 400,000 in our state, in our country, and the 4,600 that are missing in our country from foster care.
Now, if someone wants to get a hold of you, Melissa, and just has questions or, you know, wants to talk about the weather.
Right.
How do they do that? What's the best phone number and website?
Phone number is 248-227-4643. Our website, and you can join our mailing list, and we will send you updates on where we are, what we're doing, invite you to our events, artandsouldreams.org.
Okay, well, segue into events. What do you got coming up in the future?
So right now we're at Southfield Public Library.
Okay.
And we've been there for National Adoption Month. For this month is in November. December and January, we are going to Cell Block 7,
wow.
which is a museum in Jackson. And it's a prison museum at the prison on a live penitentiary.
Yeah, we talked about it. I love your reasons for it.
Yeah, a lot of people are a little taken aback when I say that we're going to feature the children there. When we dropped my daughter off for camp and we saw the billboards for it, my husband said, I guess we're going there today. I said, oh, yeah, we are. And 516 empty cells, and it is depleted of hope and love.
Mm.
And so when people come to the museum, I want them to see children, because these children are our future. Mm. They are love, and they are already enough. And at what point does a person go from being hope and love to making that wrong turn
right.
that puts them in prison? And prison is not a place where you are going to rise above.
Mm-hmm.
And there is very little, if any, love and hope.
Mm.
And so when people go to be educated at the prison museum, it's our hope that they see these children. And so we would like to invite the public to come on January 27th.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on our website and social media, exactly what time. But we're also looking for people that would like to be a part of the closing reception.
Mm-hmm.
That have spent time in foster care and in the prison system, and to join us in the panel discussion as to how important a mission like this is and
right.
how important this work is that we see our children.
Right. Well, the thing that I love about all of this being in Power Radio, I believe that where focus goes, energy flows. And if you focus on the problem gets bigger. If you focus on the solution gets bigger. And what you're focusing on is the strengths of these kids.
Right. Their hopes and their dreams.
Right.
And the booklet shares their stories in hopes that somebody would read them and say, I'd like to get to know that child.
Sure. Sure. We got a couple minutes left. What's your vision for the future? I mean, let's say the canvas is in front of you. The blank canvas is in front of you. This is your chance to large soups of the brush.
Our vision for the future is that all foster children are seen and acknowledged, and that people see them as we see our own children, that we are all interconnected,
mm-hmm.
and that the ability to find the most efficient and effective way to match these children with families and to raise that consciousness so that this becomes a positive,
mm-hmm.
and that people are that there's such a hubbub around each agency that they just are clamoring to get in,
mm-hmm.
to be a part of these children's lives and to affect that positivity that is in each of us,
mm-hmm.
and that we can each grow. And in growing and helping transform a child is, I think, the most beautiful act of love that there is.
Incredible. I love the focus. I love the direction of this.
Thank
I love
you.
The creativity of this. It is, as people on the show know, I'm involved as president of the board of directors of the Butterfly Association, which deals with at-risk kids dealing with arts, and maybe something we can do some events together.
We love to do art with the children.
These are completely compatible in a different way, except you're taking this step into adoption or
foster
care, which is just so important because, you know, whether it's a natural parent or an adoptive parent or just a friend or influence, it's all important.
Correct. It is. It's these children matter.
Yeah.
And we see them.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing.
And thank you for having me on the show. And your wife is our photographer.
My wife has a special way of antenna, I guess, of getting people together. She's
remarkable. She is remarkable.
Yeah, she's a keeper. And she told me not to say any of this kind of stuff on the radio, so I will. And congratulations to you,
thank
Melissa.
You, John. We appreciate being here.
And good luck in the future. I know that our paths will cross at some time in the future. I'd like to have you on the radio again, and we can talk about the successes.
Thank you.
And some of the things that we have in common.
Yes.
So, everybody, that closes another chapter in just a great, great radio show. It just fell together like magic, and I wanted to encourage you all to find your butterfly moments. You know, what are the things that you can give to the world? And it doesn't have to be a foundation. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. It may be an encounter with a homeless person on the side of the road, or maybe someone who's needs a call or some sort of gesture of love. We're all in this together, and we are all, none of us are getting out of this alive. And so let's go out and really live. Let's go out and spend this next 7 days like it were our last, because who knows what it is going to be. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless. Thanks again, Melissa.